So in the third year, in the month of Shawwal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam learned that the kuffar of Quraysh are on their way to Medina Munawwara. Basically, when after their defeat in the Battle of Badr, and they lost some of their leaders in the Battle of Badr, when these people went back, and Abu Sufyan, radiallahu anhu, who later on became Muslim, Abu Sufyan became the leader of Quraysh. Since then, they were planning to take a revenge from Muslims for the Battle of Badr. We know that the Battle of Badr, the main reason behind it was that there was a whole trade caravan that was going from Syria to Makkah Mukarramah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went out to follow that to stop them from getting to Makkah. Of course, those people made it to Makkah Mukarramah. So when they arrived Makkah, they took all of that wealth, and they had a place that was their meeting place. They had a place called Darun Nadwa. So they kept all of that wealth in Darun Nadwa. Now Abu Sufyan gets together with the rest of the leaders of Quraysh, and especially those who lost some of their close relatives in the Battle of Badr, like Ikrimah bin Abu Jahl, the son of Abu Jahl, and Haris bin Hisham, he is the brother of Abu Jahl, and then some other people from the leaders of the Quraysh. And he suggested to them, how about we take this wealth and whatever people had invested initially, we give it back to them. But whatever profit we made from that business, we should use it to prepare an army to fight Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all the people, of course, they were very emotional and they lost their relatives. So they all were ready to do this, and everyone started donating more money to prepare an army and to prepare to fight Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the people about whom the ayah of Quran al-Kareem was revealed. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ لِيَصُدُّوا عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Disbelievers, they spend their wealth to prevent people from the path of Allah, from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَسَيُنْفِقُونَهَا ثُمَّ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسْرَةً ثُمَّ يُغْلَبُونَ. But the amazing part is, if you look at the history and you look at all of these people who are really very emotional and they are preparing the armies, inshallah, once that time would come, we will talk about it, but this is only a reminder. I wanted to mention a point that I wanted to mention here, that almost all of those people, it won't be exaggeration to say 99% of those people became Muslims later on. Out of the leaders, out of the people who are getting others to do things against Islam, and they are preparing armies, and they are donating large sums against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those were the people who at the end became Muslims, and they started defending the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the beginning ahadith of Sahih al-Bukhari is a hadith related by Al-Haris ibn Hisham. This is the same one, the brother of Abu Jahl. And Ikrimah bin Abu Jahl was one of the, later on he became one of the very famous of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, especially during the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu. His achievements were very great, and Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu used to always consider him equivalent to himself. Ikrimah bin Abi Jahl radiallahu anhu, the son of Abu Jahl. So this is another way of looking at the beauty of this deen and the beauty of the akhlaq of the deen, the teachings of deen, that these people who always were leaning the enemies, they became the great of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi al-Majma'in, and they started defending the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, at this time, Abu Sufyan and the other leaders suggested that we should not just go by ourselves, we are going to take our wives with us, our mothers with us. The reason for that was that if you take your wives and your mothers, then it will be difficult for people to run away from the battlefield. Because you know, if you run away, you're giving up your mothers, you're giving up your wives. So they started taking them also with them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and 3,000 people left Makkah Mukarramah. with under the leadership of Abu Sufyan. Until this point, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't know anything about it. Once they left, Al-Abbas, who was the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was still in Makkah Mukarramah, he quickly sent a message through someone to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Kuffar of Quraysh have prepared an army of 3,000 warriors. They were very selective. They selected people to join this army. They did not take anyone and everyone. So, just get ready for it. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got that message, he gathered the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in. And of course, according to the number of Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in and the situation of Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, it was difficult for them to go and face an army of these 3,000 warriors. They don't even have those many weapons. They don't have that much, those many people. And they can't be selective at all. And they just have to take whoever is there. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consulted the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in of what to do. Should we go out now? They already left Makkah Mukarramah. So we can't go and stop them at Makkah Mukarramah. And by the time they knew it, these people were very close to Medina Munawwara. What should we do now? Should we just stay in Medina Munawwara and try to protect the boundaries of Medina Munawwara, set our armies at the boundaries of Medina Munawwara so we don't let them enter Medina? Or should we go outside of Medina, don't allow them to come into Medina, go outside of Medina somewhere and then have a war outside of Medina Munawwara? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's suggestion himself was, we should just stay in Medina. With this situation now, we should just stay in Medina, wait until they come, because we have some forts around Medina Munawwara that were of different tribes of Yahud and of Aws and Khazraj, these clans of Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in. We can use those forts, and then we can use some of the boundaries of Medina Munawwara that were, they had some walls built over there. So we can use those as to protect ourselves and prevent them from entering Medina Munawwara. There were some Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in who missed the Battle of Badr. And they were used to feel so bad about it that we missed the Battle of Badr. And they wanted to make up, somehow they wanted to make up for it. So when this shura was up, these sahaba said, no ya Rasulullah, we are not going to just sit back and just try to protect our souls. We want to go out and fight them. These sahaba's intention was not that we are strong, we are this. No, in fact, if you look at the statements, many of them are saying, ya Rasulullah, some of our brothers got the shahada already and we are looking for it. So ya Rasulullah, we are going to out and face these people somewhere out of Medina Munawwara, so we have a proper war. It's not just we are just trying to protect ourselves and we show them that we are scared. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, he was also in that shura when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered the sahaba and he's asking their opinions. And his opinion was that the same opinion as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's opinion, that we should stay in Medina and just protect our souls here. Don't go out and fight those people. Whatever his reason was, scared or doesn't want to go into the field, or it will be easy that he can stay in Medina Munawwara and then doesn't have to, I mean, they can just stay in home or in their homes. All the munafiqeen can just stay in their homes and they don't show up. Whatever his reason was, but his opinion was the same as the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's opinion, that let's stay in Medina Munawwara. But since many of the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in's opinion was, we should go out of Medina and face them out somewhere out of Medina. And some of them, like Hamza radiyallahu anhu, he was the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because of being the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometime he used to tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look, this is what we are going to do, that's it. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, respecting him as his uncle, although they are of the same age, but respecting him as an uncle, he would say, okay, whatever you say. So, Hamza radiallahu anhu, along with some other sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, they were insisting that we should go out of Medina. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was on the day of Jum'ah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Salatul Jum'ah, he went home, And then in the house, he had some meeting with Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. After Salat al-Asr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam puts his shields on and he comes out. As he went into the house to put those shields up, two of the Sahaba radiallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh and Usayd bin Hudayr radiallahu anhuma, they talked to the rest of the Sahaba that were in the Shura that I think it was very wrong on our behalf to be so strong in giving our opinions. We almost forced Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to accept this opinion. We should have just given our opinion and let him make the decision instead of putting our opinion so strongly and forcefully. Everyone realized that this was our mistake. Yes, we didn't do it with a bad intention. It was because they missed the Battle of Badr, so they are very emotional. They want to do something now to make up for it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out after Salat al-Asr with these shields on him. So, Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu majma'in approached him. Ya Rasulullah, it was our mistake. Please forgive us and we go with your opinion. Whatever your suggestion is, you make the final decision, Ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is the rule of Allah, whenever any Prophet of Allah puts the weapons on, he takes the weapons on, then he cannot put them down until he faces his enemies. So now we have to go out. That's it. If you would have said this before I would put these shields on, it would have been different. But not only me, any of the messengers of Allah, he cannot change his opinion after putting the weapons on. So let's just get ready and go out. After Salat al-Asr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left his masjid towards Uhud. 1,000 Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in were with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the way, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, he says to the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in that, look, my opinion was that we should protect ourselves just in Medina Munawwara. We should not go out to fight these people. And you people didn't listen to me. And therefore, I can't be with you people. So he pulls away 300 of the munafiqeen. And they go back. Out of 1,000, 300 people, they just left the army. Imagine at the time when you need not only this support by having more people, you need some moral support. Even one person leaving could be a big thing because it affects people morally. Emotionally it would affect people. That these people are leaving. Look, there is someone who left. People are scared now. People don't want to do it. They don't want to support. They are giving up. After this day, everyone was talking so much. And when the time came, all of these people would just turn away. And this is what these munafiqeen did. They kept on talking and talking and talking until when the time came and they got ready also. They left. And after that, 300 people would just break off from the army and they go back. Two very important points that we need to understand here. Number one, if someone gives an opinion and he feels very strongly about his opinion that this is the best opinion. Of course, this is what normal the situation is, that everyone feels very strong about his opinion that this is what it should be. Unfortunately, many times we don't take the opinion as an opinion. We take it as an order. I said it. How come you didn't do it? This is what defeats the purpose of the Shura and of having an Amir. If everyone's opinion is just like an order, in fact, in some situations or many situations maybe, that everyone's opinion is as important as a Wahi. Whether he recites an ayah of Quran or he gives his opinion, to him it's the same thing. I said it. And when the opinion is not followed, then people are going to build their own masjid. You know, in this masjid they don't follow our opinion, so we are going to build our own masjid. They don't do things the way we want, so we are going to build our place now, and we are going to go on our own way. Now we are going to form another group. So this is something that Sharia does not accept at all. There are many hadiths in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about the position of opinion in Islam, of shura in Islam, that when you are asked about your opinion, give your opinion. Now, if that opinion is followed, alhamdulillah. If it is not followed, then you follow the final decision that was made by the Amir. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Quran al-Kareem, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. And take their opinions, consult them regarding the important matters. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. When you make the final decision, then put your trust in Allah and go ahead and do it. That's it. After making the final decision, now don't keep on changing because someone says this and another person says this. So this should be our position with our suggestions, with our opinions, that if it is not accepted, then don't just keep on insisting on it. Just follow, because after all, this is our opinion. If other people have their opinion, and Amir has to make the final decision. He can't accept our opinion at all times, and he can't accept everyone's opinion. So he has to accept some people's opinion. Number two, especially regarding these opinions, say a person gave a suggestion and it was not taken. The other suggestion was taken, and because of taking the other suggestion, the other opinion, people suffered, people went through some difficulty. That is the real time for these people, to those who had the other opinion, to show their moral support, that look, okay, if this didn't happen, mashallah, that's fine, don't worry about it. Now we can do this. Instead of going and telling that, look, see, we told you to do this, and you didn't do it. Now you should pay for it. No, that is the time when these people, of course, they never knew what will be the ending result of either opinion. Wallahu alam, they could have taken this opinion, it could have been even worse. No one knows. But the point is, that is the time when we should really show our akhlaq and show our moral support. That's fine. And because those people who gave the opinion, they are already feeling bad, as their opinion was followed and they saw some results that were not too good for them. So now for those people who had the other opinion, they should show their moral support to the other ones. Okay, you tried your best. You did whatever you could do. There is nothing more than this we can do. And if you would have followed our opinion, who knows that we would have got into some different situation. We never know. Okay, now let's see how we correct this situation. So this is very important that we keep those type of akhlaq and behave, have those type of behaviors and morals when our opinions are not taken. In fact, we see some different results because of not following our opinions. Another very important point that we learn over here is Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, this person, the head of the Munafiqeen, he pulls 300 people and he goes away. And he breaks himself off Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi ajma'in. A lot of time people ask a question that Munafiqeen were mixed in the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi ajma'in. So how can we know who was Munafiqeen, who was a Sahabi? Well, ayaz billah, some people raise that question. These situations kept on coming up occasionally by which everyone knew who is a true Sahabi and who is a Munafiq. Now when these 300 people are going with Abdullah ibn Ubay, so all the Sahaba knows who are the 300 people who left. So they know who these people are now. So in those days, there was no question of getting mixed up between Sahaba and non-Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi ajma'in. People knew it. And then especially Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman radiyallahu anhu of the whole list of the Munafiqeen. Anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued. When these 300 people left, there were two clans from Aus and Khajraj. One is called Bani Salama and the other is called Bani Harisa. These two clans, when they saw 300 people are gone, and only 700 are left now to face 1,000 warriors. And here we have a lot of people who are not experienced in wars. This is the first time they are going into the battlefield. There are people who don't even have swords in their hand. They can't afford to have a sword. We didn't have these many weapons in Medina. And the other people that live around us, they didn't want to give us their weapons to use. So these two clans also thought it will be the best that we also leave. They were not munafiqeen. But like, this is what happens. When few people leave, then everyone else starts thinking of it. At least people will think about, let us do it, let us go. So this is exactly what happened at that time, that these two clans also planned that since those people, 700 people left, let's go home and we should also leave. We can't do anything anymore. But finally, The other Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in talked to them, what are you people are planning doing? You know, are you going to let the Prophet of Allah by himself? Are you going to just, I mean, do you think that you are more valuable, your life is more valuable than the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? When they heard these things, and the other Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in talked to them, so these people changed their mind and they continued. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran about those two clans, إِذْ هَمَّ الطَّائِفَتَانِ مِنْكُمْ أَن تَفْشَلَى. There were two clans amongst you, two groups amongst you, who were about to give up. They were about to give up. وَاللَّهُ وَلِيُّهُمَا. But Allah was their helper. And وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. People of Iman should put their trust in Allah. The people of these two clans, later on, they used to say that we thought of making a mistake, but we are happy that we thought of making that mistake. We thought of making a mistake, we are happy that we thought of making that mistake. Because as we thought of making the mistake, Allah revealed these ayahs where He says, وَاللَّهُ وَلِيُّهُمَا. Allah was their helper. Allah was their wali. And of course, if they would have made a mistake and gone away, then it would have been different. But they just thought of it, and then they changed their mind and they decided, no, this will be wrong. And they stayed there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ وَلِيُّهُمَا. Allah was their helper, that they stayed there. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got to Uhud, close to the mountain. And he started preparing the army. Kuffar of Quraysh were already there. And they were prepared and they were settled over there. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started preparing the Muslim army around the mountain of Uhud. Inshallah, in our next sessions, we will talk about those preparations and the battle and the results of that battle. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and benefit from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.